for pointing that out, Dan. I think sometimes the messaging is important, the reminders, and we need to keep reminding each other. And I always kind of have a heart when people travel. I know Sunday nights or whatever, it's harder for us to get up and to go, but I think it's so it's respectful and it's honorable for us to take part in those things. When those traveling people that are out there taking the gospel to come and act like we're interested and even hope we're interested from our heart, but if nothing else, at least show up and be there. Because I tell you, when you're traveling like that and it looks like nobody's really interested, it kind of takes your heart out of things a little bit. So yeah, that's the 26th on a Sunday night. I'm assuming we'll probably do that at 7 o'clock as well. Just like to greet y'all in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. What a blessing it is to be here together. Just like to welcome the visitors. There's a few of you here, Jason, Rebecca. Thank you for coming over this morning. And Sam and the boys, always good to see you guys. And just for all of you, we're thankful. We're very grateful for all. I'm thankful in my heart, too. Like yesterday, I left here about 11 o'clock. That whole back kitchen was a mess. We had the thing here Friday night, and then yesterday morning, our prayer group, we ate chocolate cake back there, and there was chocolate crumbs and coffee cups and everything, you know, just a haphazard mess. And you get here this morning, and everything's just nice and neat and in its place. So Clara and your mother and maybe your brothers, thank you so much. It's such a blessing to have people that do that, that I don't even know when you were here. I'm assuming sometime during the night or something, but it's just a blessing. I'm very grateful for that. People that mow the lawns and put wood on the fire, and there's we're just thankful. Thank you, James, for leading us and Reagan. And I don't hate Christmas music. I honestly do enjoy it. I'm just not one of those. When Katie was still at home, she liked to play it like every month. And I'd be like, let's save that for December. But I do like those songs. And I think that "O Holy Night" is one of my favorite. If you look at the words in that song, it's incredible. And it just about sends chills through me to help be a part of singing that. So this year, kind of my main burden of preaching has been to preach what are absolute truths in my mind, and I believe God has given me. And the reason that I'm passionate about that is because I feel that the world in general has taken too casual an attitude at God's word. And I think that's a big mistake. And my wife and I were talking. Now, we don't believe in having fear, but we were discussing this week. What is the greatest concern that we have? And I don't like using the word fear. There is a healthy fear, but probably if the greatest concern that we have is that the generations behind us continue on in the Word of God. And so I think that it's important that you young people, and us old people too, I see old people that they make concessions. I mean, it's not just young people, but I think it's important that you know the Word of God and that you say, this is absolute. You do not have to flounder around and not really know. And well, they say this and they say that, and you need to be in the Word and you need to know what it says. If you do not, you will lose your way. And I compare this to the Constitution of our country quite a bit, because you know what happens is nowadays when they put justices in, they like to pick a justice that is more in line with their party, right? And you know what? And that's ridiculous. They're saying is that the Constitution has different interpretations, that it may be this, that maybe a baby has a right to life, but maybe it's about the mother's right to do with her body what she wants. It's ridiculous. But if we're not careful in the church, we will find ourselves the same way. We'll say, well, I want to hear Brother Benjamin preach because he's a little more this, or, you know, I know I like Brother Romans. Look, it's the truth that sets you free, right? So it's very important that we understand the word is absolute. You have to come back. And today, it's not a complicated message, and I think you will all agree with me on this one. A few weeks ago, or a week or so ago, I had the privilege of, I was rocking my little grandson, which is one of the highlights of 2021 for me. I was rocking him to sleep, something that my mom used to do, she would sing hymns to the babies when she rocked them. And I was singing to him, Precious Name, Oh How Sweet. And a line of that song jumped out at me like it never did before. It says, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Think about that. The hope of earth and joy of heaven. And it struck me. I've probably heard that or helped sing that song 1,000 times over the years. And I thought, what a fitting line of song to go with today's message that I want to preach to you about the hope of earth and the joy of heaven. I tell you what, their hope is a really big deal because there's a lot of things, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but we could maybe sing that. I guess we won't, but I might read a few lines in that song just so you know a little bit what the writer's burden was, because there's something that you're hoping in today. What is it? When you think about the future, and you think about your life right now, what is it that you are focused on? Is it that when your ship comes in, when you're going to get this next payoff, or you're going to hit it big, or your job's going to get better, or I don't know. What is it that you are hoping in? It says, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy in heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. And then in verse 3 it says, I'm going to do 2 as well. It says, take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. What do you do when you're faced with temptation? Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy. When his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongues employ. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. What is your hope today when you think about the future of our children and our grandchildren? There's only one hope of earth. And we want to preach to you with the help of the Lord about that a little bit today. I'm going to turn to a very familiar story in Luke 2. We're going to read the first 38 verses in Luke 2, and it's the story of how Jesus came. And we live in a day where Christmas has become quite commercialized. Who doesn't like another Christmas party or another white elephant gift exchange or the lights and the warmth and things like that? Who doesn't like that? I mean, we love that. But I think it's very important that we understand and we have a certain awesomeness about what happened when Jesus came to earth. Have you ever thought about that? This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he could have come with 10,000 angels. He could have come in a grand and glorious way, driving a chariot of fire and slewing those that didn't agree with him. But he didn't. He came as vulnerable as a baby. Think about that as we read through this, how he came, and he didn't come overpowering. He came helpless and hopeless. Now, again, we love babies. Who doesn't love a baby? If you don't tell me. I don't even want to know. But I think that we all love babies. We love the spirit, the attitude, the helplessness that we have. And I wonder sometimes how they feel in their little minds, like little Bridger. He's got, you know, probably 10 helicopter ants, we call them, because they're always hovering over him, and grandpas and grandmas. Everybody wants Bridger. Everybody wants to be, because, you know, our families, it's both our first grandchild, and we're just super excited about that. But that's how Jesus came, as that helpless baby. He came to this earth. And he is the hope of earth. It's amazing. It's really an amazing story. But I want to read some of that in Luke chapter 2 and make a few comments. But it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, all of that is amazing, but I don't have time to comment on every verse. The fact that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords ended up in a manger. He was in there with you know, in our minds, our images. We're not exactly sure what was all in there, but we believe that there were cows, perhaps, and there was things in there. This is where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords made his entrance into the earth to be the hope of the earth. Amazing. Humility and grace. Anyway, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The hope of the earth, which shall be to all people. You, all of us, are part of that. We are to all people. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now I'd like to say a little something here about the time of the year. You know, I know the great controversy in Christians is whether we should even celebrate Christmas or not. There are those that say, well, we don't even know what day he's born. And it's true. I have read a lot of things, and I have absolutely found no one that ever wrote anything that convinced me that that day was December 25th. And I don't really care, because it's pointless to argue about that. We don't really know. But one thing we do know is that there were shepherds out watching their flock. Now, they could have been up by the barn in the crowd. I don't know, but they were out keeping watch over the sheep, and they were probably out in the hills, right? So, I mean, it could. Anyway, I just wanted to interject that. Maybe you're here and you kind of resent Christmas because, well, we don't even really know the day. Let's just forget about that and agree to disagree if you disagree. I'm not saying that it's probably, I'm saying it probably wasn't December 25th, but I think that Christians can celebrate the invasion of earth by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as a baby. And I think we can have joy in that because it's a miracle. Anyways, they go and they were in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And I like that verse there. We had a dedication for our grandson here a couple weeks ago. And basically what that was in my mind is the presentation of this child to the Lord. And we don't require that, but I love that idea that if you have a baby, you want to do a dedication service and present him to the Lord. And again, it's an outward ceremony, and I'm not saying there's great power in that, but it's good. It's a blessing. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a name. The reason I continue reading here is I kind of wanted to get this account about Simeon. It blessed me, his attitude and his spirit, when he met this child. I think it's really important. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting for the Comforter. He was waiting for this, and it happened. Imagine that. You're an old man. You're not sure. All you have ever heard is prophecy about this consolation. You've heard prophecy and things said about them. And wasn't it like 400 years since kind of the last prophet? And so it was really a silent time. And you're an old man now, and you're about to die. And you're not sure if this is going to happen on your watch. Imagine, perhaps. I think the ones that were really in tune with God were still filled with hope. But I have to imagine there were a lot of God's people in that day that didn't have a lot of hope. They were like 400 years, and yeah, there's a Messiah, but we're not hearing from heaven, and we're not seeing it. But here was Simeon, an old man. At least I think he was old. I'm not sure why I'm saying that. I believe he was older. I'm not positive how old he was, so bear with me on that. And it says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So maybe that's where I kind of get that. Anyways, that he would not, it was revealed unto them by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's amazing to me. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. He was ready to go because he had now seen his salvation. Have you seen your salvation? When you think about what you hope in, what your joy is, and what your strength is, have you seen the salvation of the Lord? Which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now we read about another person. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers and night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all that look for redemption in Israel. Now this is just a really, really beautiful story. It's more than that. It's an historic account of how Jesus invaded our earth and became our hope. And again, I want us to be focused on how Jesus chose to come in this way. Or the Father chose it for him. Everyone will look at that. But it's incredible to me that he chose to approach us in the humility and in the humility and the smallness of a helpless child. To me, that's pretty significant. Do we marvel that Jesus came in this way? I want us, as we celebrate the birth of Christ and we have good times and we eat so well and we relax and we enjoy family and we sing songs and we do all these things. I really wonder, do we all really have this hope of earth? Is the hope of earth and the joy of heaven, is that our hope on a personal level? Is that what gives us hope to wake up another day and to face another day and have hope, something rising up inside of me? When the world might look at you and look at our situation and say, there's not much there for that person to hope in. When you do not know the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven, it is hard for you to understand how people can have the grace of God. I had to think all these people down in the southeast that this massive tornado, maybe y'all didn't hear about that, but they think that this tornado is going to be the historic in the length. For over 200 miles, this tornado plowed through these people and killed, I'm pretty sure it'll end up over 100 people. This just happened on, Friday night? I believe. And so how does one look at that? Perhaps you're the only one that survives out of a family. Your house is in sticks lying over the next county. Your family members are all dead. How do you survive that? How do you deal with that? And this is one example of many tragedies that happened in this side of heaven. And I wish that I could tell you that when you give your life to the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven, that you won't have sorrow, but it's not a fact. You will have sorrow. My brother and I were talking a little bit this morning about being offended and how we can be hurt. And I told him, I don't believe that will never be hurt and never be offended in this life is probably not a reality. But there are things that happen in our life that we learn to deal with those. We learn that these things do not have to bring us down and do not have to ruin our day or our life because of the hope that we have in Christ, the hope of the earth. So anyway, there are many people, like I said, most of us, not all of us, we don't all have families here. I think, you know, there's Brother Perry, he has family, but they won't be here this Christmas that I know. And there's different ones that your families are scattered and you're kind of the only one. And I think it's important for us as a church to try to bring in you people that don't have big families and try to be your friend and try to make this a joyous time, right? I really believe that's important. But anyway, what I want to say is this, there are a lot of people in this time of the year that are really depressed and really sad. And I think it's a very, very good time for us as Christian, as followers of Jesus, to reach out to these people and give them hope. You would be amazed what a little plate of cookies or a card or a word of appreciation can do to your neighbor. So there's a lot of people that as they have suffering, it's a really sad time of the year. And for, you know, honestly, for somebody like me that I have my family mostly here, you know, obviously there's some that aren't, but I mean, you know, we have so much food and we're so comfortable. I think that it's important for us not to get too comfortable, but to remember that while we are celebrating this season, that there are so many needs around us that we don't want to forget about. God help us. But what about those people that are suffering tremendous pain right now? Is there hope? Absolutely. I know some of you are going through some really, really, really hard times, and my heart bleeds for you, not literally, but my heart aches for you. My heart aches for you. But I tell you, I also firmly believe that God, the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven, is going to sustain you. How can you have the hope of the earth if you've never met him? It is such a wonderful time for us right now to share that which gives us hope, that which gives us joy. Let's not be bashful to share that and to put that out there. What about those that once had met Jesus and had a vibrant walk with Christ and now hard things happen? Hard things happen in their life and they're not sure where Christ is. They're just not sure. Perhaps there's a temptation to revert back to your old works. We were speaking about works this morning, and I appreciated what the brothers shared and the sisters. Perhaps when things get hard, you're tempted to, well, I've got to take this in my own hands. God doesn't seem to be here, and my hope is dwindling. Is there hope for you? Yes. The hope is in the hope of the earth. Not that you're going to figure it all out and do just the right things. You're probably not. You're probably going to make mistakes. But the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven understands. He's right there. He wants to bear your burden. Will you let him? You know, I think one of the biggest things around this time of the year that causes people to be heavy and sad is relationships going bad. I was speaking to a dear older lady over by Eureka, and I don't think any of you know her, but I wouldn't mention her name anyway, but I asked her how her daughter's doing, and she's like, I don't know. We don't speak anymore. There's something in me just, when I think of my six girls that I really love, and I think about if I would be in a situation like that where one of my children would refuse to speak to me, I can't wrap my mind around the pain that must be in that relationship. But these are things that are real. They're all around us. Relationships gone bad. And how do we deal with those things? Do we simply come and cast our cares upon the Lord and believe that He's going to work this out? Or do we resort back into kind of a retaliatory spirit and manner of our life? I would just say, let's not allow a relationship going bad rob you of joy and rob you of your hope you have in Christ. That is not the heart of God. You know, whether you're young or old or a man or a woman, God has a very clear way for you to walk and to serve Him. He does. And it's not based on whether those that you love or were once held dear or were close to, whether they do or not. It's based on you in a relationship with God and your desire to serve Him and be His disciple. Right? So there's a way that you walk, even in the most difficult circumstances. There's one that you keep your eyes on. And so many times we get weary and we start looking at the situation. We focus on exactly playing into the enemy's hands. We're not focusing on the problem. We're not going to focus on that which is making us weary and sad. We're looking unto the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. He can restore that hope. Many things in life will be hard, and I wish I could tell you that you walk out of here today and you'll never face another hard time, but I can't. If Jesus doesn't come back, someday you'll bury me or I'll bury you, and we'll cry and we'll be sad, and that's just how life is. But we're not sad in the sense that of one that has no hope. We're not sad that way, because parting is hard and grief is real and struggles are real. But there's one that we can cling on to in those times. There's grace is always sufficient. Do you believe that? Do you believe in your heart that His grace is always sufficient and it's always going to carry you through? I know that our dear brother Roman, and I love Roman and Mary so much, but I know that the thought of him, you know, the other year when Mary had her heart acting up, and she still does. She's really quiet about it, but her heart still acts up, and I wish you all would pray for her. But I know that Mary, or Roman, called me that morning, and he just broke down and cried because he didn't know, you know, was Mary going to survive that day. But I hear him, and he cannot imagine life without his beloved. He'll cry. He'll just break out crying about thinking about that. But he also talks about, he says he knows that if it would happen, that he can't envision it or imagine it right now, but God's grace is going to sustain him. In other words, Roman's not going to just give up if that were to happen. But that's the kind of hope that we're talking about. That's the kind of grace that we talk about. There are things that we think about, and in our human mind, we can't quite wrap our mind around the hugeness of it and the sadness of it, but we know in our heart, because of the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven, that when or if that ever happens, He's going to sustain us by His grace. We cannot allow circumstances that are hard and other people's wrong choices, nor life or death, or any other thing that this sin-stained world throws our way, any fiery dart of the wicked. We can't allow any single thing to rob us of our hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. Luke 2, verse 29 says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Is that enough? Is that enough for you, beloved, that you have seen His salvation? Is that our hope? Do we look beyond the present battle and continue in hope? Again, I talked a little bit about there's a lot of hurting people right now, and some of those hurts are very real because they were wounded. They were wounded by, you know, maybe, like I said, that dear older lady that I talked to, she said, I did something and offended my daughter and we're not talking. There's a wound there. Now, we can brush that over and gloss it over and say, well, I don't care. You know, we can pretend that it doesn't exist, but it's not, but it's still there. There are things in our past that happen to us and that we do to each other that leave a wound. You know, we pretend that they don't exist, and we might even come in here and sit together and sing hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but if we don't bring those things to the altar, we don't bring those things to the cross, we don't confess and forgive one another, we still carry that wound. Until we find healing from that, we walk in pain. And when we walk in pain, oftentimes it becomes obvious. And, you know, they say, well, you hurt other people. But I believe that there's also other types of real, you know, sometimes it's physical affliction. People are hurting. They have pain inside of them. Real, it's real. And it's heavy because it hurts. I don't know about you, but I think some of my most weakest, babyish times is when I get really sick with the flu. I'm just like, heal me or let me die. You know, I mean, really, not. I don't really want to die. But I mean, that's kind of the spirit you can get. You know, you're just like, there's not much hope there when you're incredibly sick. And I know girls call it man flu and that kind of thing. But, you know, it's real. Like, we get sick and we get heavy. And I've been blessed for the most part with good health. And, you know, I have some things that hurt all the time. My knee's shot. But I'm blessed. I'm very thankful. But when I get into those times, and thank God, I'm very blessed. I don't get as sick as often as I used to. But those times are very real. And some people live with an affliction that stays there for a long time, and they need something to give them hope. And when they know the Lord Jesus, they know the hope of earth and the joy of heaven, there's something that takes them through that. And they're like, I'm going home, I'm going to get a new body. But in the meantime, the pain is very real. But as we fight these kind of battles, let's remember that when Jesus came to the earth and how he engaged us, how he came. He didn't come as some big 8-foot powerful giant flying his own jet, driving a chariot of fire. He came helpless and loving. That's how he invaded our world. And that's how we want to engage each other in that kind of humility. Someone suggested, and I'm not sure who this was, that Jesus entered into the earth this way so that you could not but help to love him. You know, if he would have come with all the associated our ideas of grandeur and power, there would have been some people that would have just, they would have been turned off by that because, wow, who is he? But he came as a helpless baby and made his entrance into the earth. And you know, Jesus, I'm going to get a few verses there in Matthew. Jesus actually told us to be like a child. And I wonder if there's a little bit of a connection, but in Matthew 18, he did not mention that. And when he talked about this, he did not mention the fact that he came as a baby. Didn't bring that up at all, but in Matthew 18, verse 1, it says, at that time, same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. He said, except you be converted and become as a little child, you're not going to enter the kingdom. What did he mean by that? Obviously, he did not mean that we should, you know, we're going to get little again and run around, you know, childish, but he wanted us to have that spirit of humility that a child has. And we could talk a lot about the characteristics of a child, but you know how they are. They're very forgiving. They very rarely hold grudges. They're usually very humble. Now, we also know that we believe that a child is born into this world. They come, they have a sin nature. But There's something incredible in the trust and the forgiveness of a child. And Jesus said that if we don't become as them, he said, we're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So I think that he was talking about the humility that they have. He said, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. So as we do life and we think about the hope of the earth, do we enter battle with the humility and the trust of a child? Or do we wear some attitude? Jesus, the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven, when he invaded our planet, Earth, there was no attitude that came with him. Came with humility, vulnerability, and grace. So what do we do? Do we do next? Do we look to the hope of the earth, or do we, again, revert back into taking matters in our own hands when things don't go well? I hope the Lord helps us to, you know, many of us, and I think that the reason for relationships going bad at times in marriages and in church life and in families, I think the reason that we have hurts and wounds and pain from that is because we entered into that relationship with expectations. Most of us came to this little church, Lakeside, and we had high hopes and expectations. You know, we were searching, and God led us here. And what do we do when, or, you know, let's take an instance of marriages. A lot of young people have really high hopes and expectations, like Catherine and Chad back there. Thank you for that. They're smiling, and you're thinking each other are pretty great, and they have expectations about each other. You know, you do, right? You have expectations. And you know what? Really, in reality, you should talk about those. Talk about what your expectations are for each other before you get married. Because a lot of people, when they walk down the aisle and everything's all smiles and wondrous and glamour and beautiful and it's all good, it's great. I'm not knocking it at all. But there's an expectation there that you have in your hearts and that we had in our hearts. And when reality doesn't meet that expectation, there can be a lot of pain. There can be a lot of pain there. And what do we do about that? What are we going to do when the reality of our life is not what we expected it to be? It's called the hope of the earth. The hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. Bring your expectations and your reality to the foot of the cross and bring them together there. Because they're probably not going to ever meet together and be perfect anywhere else. But there at the cross they can be. Perhaps you're here today and you're wounded and there's real and genuine pain and you're not... Maybe you're not even sure why you're feeling what you're feeling. I just want you to know that Jesus, the hope of the earth, does care. He really does. He understands your pain like none of us can. We say we understand and we do. We have good intentions and good hearts to stand with each other and help each other along. But no one understands like Jesus. I remember that old hymn, Does Jesus Care When My Heart Is Pained and Weary? And I don't remember all those lines there, but it says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And I believe that. He does care. He paid the price for every situation. This week I was reading in the book of John, in John 19:30, and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. It is finished. When he cried that cry, it is finished. He finished every one of y'all's battles. He took every one of your battles on his shoulders. He said, I will bear them. That was the sacrifice, the finished work of the cross. And you cannot make it better. You cannot improve on what Jesus did that day at the cross, because he took all, every one of your pain and your wounds, he took all of those burdens and he took them to the cross with him and he died. It says there was water and blood came. They put that spear in his side and out of it came water and blood. But when he cried, "It is finished," he finished that. Beloved, can you walk in that? Do you dare to trust him? Do you dare to trust him so much that you will stop trying to figure it all out on your own? You'll stop trying to psych yourself up and say, "I got this." And I don't want you to be, hang your head and say, "I don't have it," but say that Jesus has it. Say one day, "I don't feel it today." Okay, you don't have to feel it. But you have to know that Jesus is going to carry you because he is the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. Will you say that? When the enemy comes and says, "You're not going to make it, Jacob," are you going to say, "I'm not making it on my own, but I'm going to make it through the power of Christ who has defeated you, enemy"? Will you? Do you dare to say that? "I can't make it on my own. Accuser, condemner, you can tell me that I'm not man enough, and you're right, but I've got Jesus, the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven." I get so mad at that old enemy. He's a liar and he's defeated. Hebrews 2:14 says the power of death is destroyed. And I get mad at him when he runs around and he wreaks havoc and he tells my brothers and sisters that I love that you're not good enough. He's right. You're not. But through Jesus, you are. Through Jesus, the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. Can any of us in here say that we never messed up? I can. The list of where I messed up is far greater than when I didn't. But when we bring our mess ups and our life and our unbelief and we bring it to the cross, the hope of earth and the joy of heaven, it means nothing to God. He sees Christ's name written on your heart. We do not have to give in and be focused on our pain and our hurt and our weariness. We turn it on when he comes and he wants us to think about the turn it around on him and say, "You're right, it is real. The pain is real. The wounds are real. The heaviness is real. But I'm not looking to that. I'm looking to the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven, for it's my salvation. It is there that I find peace." He has no right to us. And you know what? The old prophets of old knew this. Joel 3:16 said, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." The heavens and earth shall shake. Some of y'all's earth is shaking. Some of y'all's walls are shaking. You're like, "I don't know how I'm going to make it through. This hurts." The Lord will sustain you. Will you look to him? Will you look to him? Will you put your hope in him? Some of your burden for your loved ones that they're not walking where you want them to walk. And you're like, "What am I going to do? I can't." Look to the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. That's where you're going to look. I'm so thankful to God. What is your hope today? Are you waiting for you to get it all just right? It's not going to happen. You're never going to get it all just right unless that all just right is looking into the hope of earth and the joy of heaven. Is our hope trying to figure out how we can make it through in our own strength? Do we think that maybe if I attend the right conference and the right meeting and the right Bible school and Jamin, I hope you had a glorious time wherever you were. I think you were seeking the Lord. I'm not knocking that. But you know that that's not where you're going to find the sustenance for your soul. You might be encouraged there, but you know what I mean. It's not in thinking, I used to think this way when we were searching and we had a journey a little bit like Roman and Mary shared. And I used to think, if I could just find somebody to tell me exactly how it is, everything would be well. What I needed was a meeting with Jesus. So it, you know, we can look, and again, I'm not knocking associations, I'm not knocking Bible schools, I'm not knocking conferences at all. They're good. They're part of fellowship and sharpening each other, and they're wonderful. I'm totally all for that. But those things, without the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven, will never take you through. It's not going to happen. Sometimes God does send a person into your life, and they're hugely impactful. I'm not knocking that. That's because they are used of God, and He sent them to bless us. But what we really need as a foundation for our faith is the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. Jesus is that hope of earth and the joy of heaven. He's yearning to meet us. 1 John 3:3. Get a few verses here. I'm running out of time. It says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself." Where did it come from? The purification? Did it come from you doing it all right and knowing everything perfectly? No. You had that hope in you, and in that is what purified you. Ephesians 4:4, another beautiful verse I want to grab here real quick. Ephesians 4:4, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling." There's one body and one spirit. What is that spirit? 1 Timothy 1 verse 7. I must have wrote the wrong scripture down. No, it was 2 Timothy. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." That is what God has given you. If there is another spirit that is tormenting you, that is keeping you from believing in the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven, God has not given us this spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Let's see. I think I have one more scripture here if I can find it. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" What is our hope? Our joy, our crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus? Is that your hope, to be in His presence? Do not buy into the lies of the enemy and the world. It's that ship, that train, that whatever delivery you think you're waiting on to complete your life is found. Would you have a meeting with the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven? There are no substitutes. There is nothing else. Let's take in every thought captive and believe Him. Jesus is yearning for you to just simply let it go. He wants you to say, when you wake up in the morning and you're not feeling it, He wants you to believe it's okay. Jesus does not condemn you for not feeling it. He doesn't condemn you because you doubt. The devil wants you to believe that. But Jesus is not that way at all. He is of love and merciful and compassionate. And when you wake up and you're not feeling it, you're not getting the vibes, you know, you're not feeling like you're a Christian today, and you're down about it. You know what? Jesus understands. You know what He wants you and I to do? He wants you and I to look unto Him, and Him to be the hope of the earth, the hope of your heart on a personal level. Personally, say, "I don't know what's going to happen. I don't understand even what I'm going through, but I have my anchor, my heart is anchored in one place, and that's in Christ, the hope of the earth." May the Lord help us. I don't want to go on. I think I've made the point that God wanted me to make. I just want to be very clear this morning, saints, beloved of God, if you know Him, you are a saint and you are a beloved of God. An enemy will try to tell you that because of your failures, because you didn't do this all right in the past, let the past be the past. like I said, we can all look and say where we messed up, and we really did. Let the past be back there. We're not looking to the past. We're just not. But there are no losers in this place this morning. There are no failures in this place. Yeah, we've all failed, and at times we've all lost a battle. But that doesn't make us failures, and it doesn't make us losers, because the hope of the earth said no, right? He said, you're not going to lose this battle if you keep your eyes on me. And so when the days are hard and dreary and tough, and maybe you're going to spend this Christmas day not with your family where you'd like to be, don't allow the enemy's lies to bring you down. Talk and commune with the Savior of the world. I want to bring this message to a close. And I have a song that I have asked them to play, and I'd like to just close the service. And if you want to just, while the song plays, just bow your head and meditate on, you know, your life and your struggles. Maybe God will move you to go across the room and pray for a sister or brother. Maybe not. There's no pressure here. But I want us to think about these things. I want us to really, really know, examine, allow God to examine our own heart. Is my hope in my life, is it in the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven? I'm just going to say a word of prayer and you can play the song. Father God, we just lift up your name. We give you glory and honor and praise. Any of us that is standing here today and things are going well for us and we have love in our hearts and you've blessed us with so many things, it's because of you. None of us can boast in ourselves and the knowledge that we have and that we've done it all. Not a single one of us. What we have, if things are well and there's peace in our heart and joy is our strength, it's because of the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. We just lift up that name, that precious, sweet name of Jesus this morning. And Lord, I pray your blessing over everyone that's here. There are some of you that are going through tremendous battles. And frankly, we're all going through them because we're one body. We're one body. And when our hearts bleed, we bleed together. When we're hurt, we are hurt together. So Lord, we stand together with our brothers and sisters in the battles that they're raging. And we stand with them and we walk together. And we look unto Jesus, the author of our hope and our faith. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Lord, thank you for the fellowship meal that's prepared. Bless it to our bodies. And I pray that all those that are visiting here, that they'd feel welcome to stay here and participate in this with us today. And may your blessing be upon each person that has been here today, for they are precious in your sight, and you have a deep love. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you for being here. May the Lord's richest blessing. Play this song and you can stand.